the corporate coup at the Tata Group, where the meltdown and the bloodbath continues. First, there was an explosive email from Cyrus Mistry, who had not gone on record so far. Cyrus Mistry personally targeted Ratan Tata and accused Ratan Tata of reducing him to a lame duck chairman. He also spoke of how the Tata Group was looking at $18 billion in write-downs. After this email protest, in the last few minutes, you have seen the NSE and the BSE both asking the Tata Group to clarify the exact truth and the veracity of this particular charge that has been made by Cyrus Mistry, who is saying that he inherited a debt-trapped company and Ratan Tata never gave him the space to actually function autonomously. All right, reactions are pouring in to these developments. Let's go straight across, in fact, to Abhishek Singhvi. Abhishek Singhvi has met with Ratan Tata today. He's in Mumbai and he is, of course, the counsel for Ratan Tata. Mr. Singhvi, you are, as we said, in Mumbai. You have met with Ratan Tata. You've spent the afternoon with him. First, give us a sense. It's now very, very clear from this absolute public bloodbath and the leaks and counter leaks that this was a wound that was festering for several months. We now know that Ratan Tata had in fact met with Cyrus Mistry, even asked him to quit. That didn't happen. But Cyrus Mistry has gone public with all kinds of allegations. He said Ratan Tata reduced him to a lame duck chairman. How terrible is this for one of India's most iconic brands? And how will the Tatas do damage control after Cyrus Mistry's allegations?
Barkha, first and foremost, let me tell you that I have restraints which I'm going to exercise and impose upon myself, unlike others who might speak, including Mr. Cyrus Mistry. I'm not going to be able to speak as freely because I'm privy to information in a case. I don't want to talk about it freely and openly. Second, I think it's unfortunate that this kind of dirty linen is sought to be washed in public. This frequently happens when people start thinking that they can cut their nose to spite their face. Ratan Tata is known as a person of sobriety, restraint and dignity. He has not said anything of the sort. But let me answer your question by a simple example, Barkha. Ratan Tata fought and spent a lot of months before virtually single-handedly anointing Mr. Mistry. Now the question is that a person like Ratan Tata, who voluntarily retired on a self-imposed age limit, who has the right and entitlement given by the board of Tata Sons to attend the board as a very special emeritus, but not even once exercised it in 4 years, he's supposed to be the master puppeteer pulling the strings? And one more thing, Barkha, before you go to your next question. This is a very eminent board of 9 persons, including independent directors and Tata Sons trustees who have acquired a worldwide and all India industry reputation as managers of one of the most iconic ethic-based groups. They are not people who will jump to any master puppeteer's tune. The decision is taken by a collectivity, overwhelming collectivity, which has lost confidence in someone.
Right.
In a board where Ratan Tata has hardly ever attended. I don't think, not even once.
But Abhishek Singhvi, the fact of the matter is that Cyrus Mistry has clearly questioned the fact that he was not given an opportunity to even defend his record. We now know that Mr. Tata met him, asked him to quit. He declined to do that. But in his protest email, he's saying he should have been given an opportunity to at least account for his own record. That's point one. Point two, you talk about how it's unfortunate that he's washing dirty linen in public, but aren't you and Ratan Tata's team doing exactly the same when you say that Mistry breached the ethics and his value system was not compatible with the value system of the Tata Group?
This is a separate question, Barkha. Two things. Firstly, you asked the notice issue. Let's not mix up the issues. See, Barkha, I've been saying since yesterday, this is a sad context. I don't think anybody is happy about it and nobody is finger-pointing or saying, I told you so, or I am triumphant and here we are celebrating with a victory dance. That's not the context at all. It's unfortunate, but tell me one thing, Barkha. When the collectivity of the board loses confidence in you, is it not inevitable? Why are you singling out A or B? There are 9 people on the board. collectively by an overwhelming majority, they have lost confidence in you. It's unfortunate. Nobody wants it to happen. But once it happens, why do you pick out one person? And nine very, very eminent people, or whatever the number is, cannot all be insane or wrong to think the same way. So what's the point of, you know, doing this blame game? And second point you ask about notice, I don't know who has seen the law or who has checked the law, but the last I heard, there is nothing which requires a notice for merely change of a chairman. Remember, we're not talking of a director. He continues to be an eminent director of the board. He continues to be a shareholder if he is. A notice to change a chairman when 90% or 70% of the board thinks that they've lost confidence in you, this is unheard of in corporate law.
Abhishek Singhvi, one of the reasons that was described as the breaking point between Ratan Tata and Cyrus Mistry was the Docomo litigation. And you know this, that an international court of arbitration asked the Tata Group to pay thousands of crores, more than 7,000 crores, in fact, as a case that actually Docomo won after Tata's failed to find either a buyer or buy back the 26% stake that Docomo had. The RBI is now part of that litigation. This has been described as a breaking point, but Cyrus Mistry in his letter is actually putting the blame on Ratan Tata. He's saying this entire deal was structured well before Cyrus Mistry became chairman.
I don't think anybody has said, as far as Mr. Ratan Tata is concerned, that I am removing you, or the collectivity of the board has said that we are removing you, or that we have lost confidence in you because of A, B, C, D. Point number one, this is some kind of a defensive mechanism coming out, identifying causes. Second, Barkha, the crux of the matter is that loss of confidence is a collective and a subjective, objective thing. A loss of confidence is not that I write out a charge sheet to an employee and say, you have committed 1, 2, 3, show cause, and after you show cause, we will examine by a judicial inquiry whether you committed 1, 2, 3. A loss of confidence in top CEOs happens across the world in boards. And thirdly, Barkha, it is wrong to suppose that courts become a second board to second guess the collectivity and the subjectivity of the board which has lost confidence in you. The court will sit in the shoes of that board and start thinking, what are the individual reasons? This is unheard of. Across the world, if you lose your confidence in a CEO, you go. Tough luck, but you go.
Tough luck, but you go, you say, on behalf of Ratan Tata to Cyrus Mistry. But Mr. Singhvi, shouldn't there be some accounting for the reasons that the board, in fact, collectively lost that decision? Because if it's not the Docomo case, if it's not the ditching of assets or the selling of family jewels, as it's been called, what are the reasons that the board, in fact, lost this confidence? I mean, you can't just sit there and say, tough luck, Mr. Mistry.
No, I am not saying that this or that was not the reason. I am only saying that in law, nobody is obliged to spell out the reasons. Secondly, those reasons are not reviewable, much less in the press, but not even in the judiciary. Thirdly, the reasons will come tumbling out of the closet if people start washing dirty linen in public. To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. I don't think it's desirable. I don't think it's necessary. And I don't think anything is done by washing the dirty linen in public. As a matter of fact, what has happened has happened. Statesmanship is required to diffuse the post-happening of this rather than starting your litany of washing linen in public.
You know, you're repeating that phrase, but the fact is that Cyrus Mistry has very specifically listed 5 different businesses that he inherited that he said were loss-making, that were debt-strapped, and he's referred to an aviation business that he never wanted to get into. He's referred to wanting to shut down Nano, but there being emotional reasons that are in the Tata Group that stopped him from doing what he wanted to. He's spoken about the dangers of an $18 billion write-down, which, you know, you now have the NSE and the BSE asking for a clarification too. Don't all of these points raised by Cyrus Mistry need a rebuttal, Abhishek Singhvi?
Barkha, first of all, with a fundamental mistake you are making, thinking that I am a spokesperson for the Tata to rebut this. I am sure in due course, a point-by-point factual rebuttal will come from the office of the Tata House, not from Ratan Tata. And I am sure the facts will startle people and the facts will be very different because you are hearing one side of the story. But the second point is more important. I am asking you a question, Barkha. Are you suggesting that Mr. Mistry so eagerly, willingly and joyously joined a sinking group. This group was mired in terrible situations and Mr. Mistry was jumping at joining it. It was a premier group of the country. It remains a premier group and people would give their right arm and right leg to join it. And that's right. How he was appointed, very happily and joyously. So let not people say things today in retrospect just because they've left the group.
Right. But Abhishek Singhvi...
That too only as chairman.
Yes. Okay. But Abhishek Singhvi, one of the statements that Cyrus Mistry in fact gave to me on record was that he rubbished claims that have been made by the Ratan Tata camp that he was guilty of conflict of interest, that he gave new contracts to his family firm, the Shapur Palunji group, from which he actually disassociated himself when he took over as chairman. He told us that in 2013 he issued an order saying no new work should be given and the business value has now dwindled to an insignificant amount. Will you, speaking on behalf of Ratan Tata as his lawyer, comment on this conflict of interest controversy that you all have brought up?
Well, you know, Barkha, in fact, this is the same answer I'd give as the previous to last to last question. This is an example of washing dirty linen in public, and this one, he is washing linen of his own which is dirty, because this is an allegation against him. Obviously, loss of confidence doesn't occur without reasons. The reasons will include economic, moral, propriety, and several other factors. I am certainly not going to be specific about them, but as I said, it will serve no purpose if out of the closet come tumbling out various allegations. Obviously, 9 wise men or 12 wise men or 10 wise men would have substantial reasons to lose confidence in a CEO of a group like this. And you can rest assured that one or many of the reasons you are talking about would be amongst them, but I'm not identifying them and I'm not washing the dirty linen in public. This is all being done by in fact, the person you're quoting.
But you said something really, really significant. When you say that there were economic, moral and issues of propriety, you are then confirming that in your opinion and in the opinion of Ratan Tata, you are sticking by that conflict of interest allegation. You are saying there were issues of propriety.
You are trying to extract out of me an allegation. And even though it's a rebuttal, which I'd be making by the allegation, because the allegations are being made against the Tata Group, even then, I am not doing it.
So then why don't
you... I've told you.
So then why don't you explain what you mean when you say Cyrus Mistry was removed for reasons which were economic, moral and related to impropriety?
I am saying that these are factors which have definitely gone into the loss of confidence. These are not 9 perverse people who have lost confidence suddenly overnight. There would be management issues. There would be propriety issues. There would be legacy, sanskar and sanskriti issues of not being in sync with the Tata Group's ethos. There would be issues of the kind you have mentioned. But why should anybody try and second guess those issues? Why should you and I try to decide whether those issues are right or wrong? That is precisely what a board has to do. But to suggest that there are no such issues or that the issues are only a one-way street is wrong.
But Abhishek Singhvi, you have to answer, should there not be more transparency from the side of Ratan Tata, who is one of the most venerable business leaders of this country? This is an iconic brand. Why don't you tell the people of India what went down?
Barkha, somebody asked me that question earlier, that why don't you have an RTI transparency as to why you take decisions in political parties and similarly in top corporate boards.
Right.
Do you not agree with me that this is a highly unreal, oversimplistic solution? Have you ever heard of Deutsche Bank giving you reasons why the CEO is changed from A to B? Have you ever heard of Bill Gates, the Apple CEO?
You mean, Steve Jobs.
Departed,
Steve Jobs before he became
Steve
the
Jobs,
Apple CEO. Yes.
Who was sacked from his own company. Yes. Do you think it's an employee-employer relationship when the board loses confidence in you? Do you think he is given a charge sheet with reasons to answer and then an inquiry is held and then he's sacked and then he goes to court and a judge adjudicates the reasons? Are we talking of something very unreal? Is this how good corporate governance happens? You trust the company with 9 or 10 or 12 wise men or women and then they decide and you leave it to them and you don't ask questions. In fact, the law is directly against what you are saying. Review of such reasons is just not possible, much less in the press, but not even in courts of law.
Strong words there, but let me ask you in the end, you spent the afternoon with Ratan Tata, you are his lawyer, you're speaking from Mumbai after meeting him. How would you describe his state of mind?
I would describe your courage in asking the question as that of a very, very good, veteran, hard-nosed journalist trying to extract information with the sure, short knowledge in advance that I'm not going to answer it.